This is Vulnerability Matters from the Money Advice Trust.
All of a sudden, you went from having two people earning decent wages, enjoying life, you know, and all of a sudden you're left sort of a bit of a charity case, to be honest, you know, watching what I'm spending really to the penny at times.
Hello, welcome back to Vulnerability Matters. I'm Chris Fitch. What would you do if almost overnight your income was wiped away? If unexpectedly you no longer had enough money coming in? And where meeting your basic costs was not just improbable, but practically impossible? It's a situation all of us have probably worried about, but it's a reality for millions of people in the UK today. And according to the FCA, these type of sudden income shocks are the second most common negative life event reported by UK adults. So in today's episode, which is part of our Vulnerability Voices series, we hear about the experience and impact of living through an income shock. Sharing their experience with us are Tom and Gordon, who explained to Michael Hilton from Three Hands Insight how their lives were suddenly turned upside down by an unexpected drop in income. And, in the most devastating of twists, how the greatest shock of all for Tom and Gordon was not just the financial shock itself, but the often ineffective responses of the very organisations they thought would help them out of this situation.
Are you looking to strengthen your approach to vulnerability and consumer duty? Join the award-winning Vulnerability Academy, delivered by the Money Advice Trust in partnership with UK Finance. Over 200 professionals have already graduated, and Cohort 15 starts on 14th of April. Don't miss out. Sign up now at moneyadvicetrust.org/academy or click the link in the description.
Today, we are here exploring what happens if you face a sudden loss of income. And I'm joined by Tom and Gordon, who both faced just such an income shock in recent years. And they're kindly going to share their experience with us today. Thank you both very much for being here. Tom, would you be able to give us some context to your experience to start us off?
It's been a bit of a long background. It was nearly 10 years ago. I separated from my wife. I was working with my dad in a business, and he retired. And I hadn't realized how reliant as a business we were on his expertise. So I sort of tried running the business on by myself, which became a bit difficult. So that I managed to rack up quite a few personal debts during that time because I kept borrowing from credit cards to kind of thinking, you know, all that big contracts just around the corner sort of thing. And eventually it became too much to bear. And I was quite lucky to find employment with one of my clients. They were looking for someone in-house. And they offered me a job, and that was great. It was the answer to all my prayers. So I had about 3 years with them on a decent salary, managed to get my debt sort of under control, almost, you know, significant amounts paid off. Everything else, I was covering my living expenses. That was all very nice. Then after about 3 years working for them, unfortunately, it was a family business, and they sold the business to a national chain. And then the chain made us all redundant. Unfortunately, right, I live in a rural county, rural area, and there aren't many decent jobs similarly paying the similar amounts. I've really struggled to find work since that redundancy. It wasn't helped that it was in the same year that COVID hit. So when COVID came along, I obviously was unemployed, so I couldn't be furloughed. I couldn't get the self-employment scheme either because I didn't have any accounts. So I had to live on universal credit, which unfortunately was only about £200 more than my rent. So I just started going backwards, you know, faster than I had before. So all the progress I made sort of went away. Because I have two young children, and an ex-wife who wouldn't want to move, I didn't want to move somewhere where I might be more likely to find employment, because I don't want to miss my kids growing up, basically.
Thanks, Tom. And thanks for laying that out so clearly for us. And we'll come to the implications and the role of businesses, good or bad, within that in a moment. But before we do that, Gordon, maybe we could let you introduce yourself and your experiences too.
I had basically been employed all my life, all my adult life. You know, as soon as I left college, I went and got a sort of full-time job. And I'd been used to working. A few years ago, I'd been working for an organisation and my position became redundant. Now, that's not actually where the income shock happened, but it meant that I had to change job. And the job I ended up in was actually really good. It was really well paying. I was earning the most I'd ever earned. You know, everything was great. Unfortunately, at that point, my health started to decline and I became quite unwell when I had to stop, when I was off from that job for quite a substantial period of time. Because I wasn't long in the job, there was no sick pay benefits or anything like that to kick in long term. They were all quite short, only lasting sort of a few weeks. And within that, I would then get let go from the company because of my health, which basically left me with nothing. I wasn't able to apply for Universal Credit because my partner earned too much. I was able to receive the government's ESA grant payment, which worked out to be... I can't remember the exact figures, but it's not a lot you receive. Eventually, I was able to receive sort of adult disability payment, as it is in Scotland, or as it's still known in England. But those things took time. So basically, I'd went from being employed full-time to nothing in a very short period of time. And the fact that my health was in such a way that it made it very difficult to deal with things.
And it's interesting that very different causes, but that you both talk about almost going from a position of being in a comfortable job, perhaps one of the more comfortable jobs you've been in, but then suddenly these external events and things happen and that situation changes so fast. And I get where does that leave you now? Maybe to you first, Gordon, you know, it, obviously... Where are you left now as a result of this?
It's left me in a situation where I'm pretty much living okay to a certain extent, but it doesn't give you the opportunity to save for anything, to sort of do anything extra. Because my partner works, again, as I said before, I'm not able to claim for Universal Credit, so I'm left living on the ESA and the ADL payment, which is significantly less than what I was used to earning. It means that it puts a lot of pressure, an emotional pressure on our relationship as well, because all of a sudden you went from having two people earning decent wages, enjoying life, you know, similar to Tom, I've got three kids, you know, supporting them as well. And all of a sudden you're left, it's pretty much you're left on your own with no help, not entirely much support because of someone else. You know, your system's geared to put all this pressure on someone else's wage. Whereas I'm left sort of a bit of a charity case, to be honest, you know, watching what I'm spending really to the penny at times. And it's after working for so long, it's very hard to come to terms with, and it's very hard to deal with. And the knock-on effect as well is that, like Tom, I've got a partner who was getting a certain amount for me each month to support the kids. And that's pretty much dried up because the sort of payments that I can afford are very, very minimal. So not only does it have a knock-on effect on my current situation, it's also got a knock-on effect on someone else's situation as well.
And, I mean, how did the businesses play into this? You know, whether we're talking about financial services, energy companies, other businesses you interact with in a financial way, you know, how did they help? Did they make the situation worse? What was their role after the income shock you experienced?
It's hard to sort of put into it to exact because there's so many sort of instances of it. I mean, so I had, you know, after being turned down for, I just got absolutely sick of applying for jobs because I'm either overqualified or underqualified or, you know, all the rest of it. So I've become a freelance web developer, as I mentioned, which seems to be the only course open to me is to be self-employed at some point. I mean, you know, and I do any, I'm not just web, I mean, that's what I'm trying to be, but I'll take any work on that pays the bills. And trying to run my own business with all these debts behind me is difficult. I mean, credit ratings affect all sorts of things, you know, within business. Insurance is hard to get. I mean, I got personal liability insurance, and one of the first questions was, do you have a CCJ against you? And, you know, I basically had to lie. I mean, I guess that means that the insurance probably won't pay out if I, you know, if something happens, but what else am I supposed to do? I can't not have it, you know? That's the main one. Also, broadband. I mean, I wouldn't have thought you'd need to have your credit rating checked for broadband, but some companies do. I was refused by one provider for broadband. And luckily, I was able to get a very similarly priced deal with someone else on a 30-day contract with no fees. But I mean, that's another thing is, if you have a bad credit rate, you know, the less the access to things is reduced, or you're paying a higher price for everything, which I can understand from a kind of a risk perspective on their side, but, you know, it's just not what you need when you don't need it.
And Gordon, how about you? I know you had a particular instance with car finance. Maybe you can tell us a bit more about that and what role businesses played for good or ill in after the shock you experienced?
We sort of, as a couple, sort of sat down and made sure that, and again, this puts pressure on someone. We had to make sure that anything that required a credit check or anything like that was done in my partner's name, because I wasn't earning. I'm not going to get, I don't have a particularly good credit history. So we had to make sure that everything was in one person's name to make sure we did get the services that we require. I particularly found that, you know, companies put these lines of, you know, we're here to help, we're here to listen. 9 times out of 10, they're here to give you the number of someone else to phone. They'll tell you to phone, you know, money helplines, debt advisory services and things like that. I found that the way they help is by putting you somewhere else. But they probably see that as fulfilling their role as signposting. With regards to the motor finance, pretty quickly after I was off sick, the car is something that I fell behind pretty quickly on in payments, because it wasn't like council tax or electricity or something like that was seen as an essential bill. You know, it was the first thing that I've kind of felt that I kind of always felt I'll be back at work and I can get back on track with the payments. And it became clear that I wasn't going to be back working anytime soon. And you see, my health became to the point where I couldn't drive. You know, I went to the company and said, look, this isn't happening. What are my options? And they basically said they would come, take the car away, sell the car, and whatever debt was left over, that would be mine to pay, which I had no option but to agree with. They came, they took the car. It was then 4 or 5 months before I heard anything. And the first thing I heard was a letter from a third-party debt collector saying I owed over £5,000 in this car. So I'd never heard anything from the finance company again. I'd never had any lead-up or warnings to this. The first thing I heard was this letter from the third-party debt collector to say, you owe this, which was very hard to deal with and very hard to sort of, the shock of getting that sort of letter is quite hard to take.
And what I'm hearing is that far from the response from, you know, in terms of the sort of benefits and support system, the welfare system, and indeed the response from businesses, far from almost helping you get back on your feet and sort of work out how you rebuild from that shock, in a whole range of ways, essentially, these things are sort of perpetuating the situation you find yourselves in now, whether that's making it harder, Tom, for you to go freelance and earn the money that way, or for you, Gordon, to be able to just kind of stand on your own feet and you know, set yourself up how you want to. So, you know, we've got a range of businesses on the line listening to this, all different types of organizations. So what's the message to them then? You know, it sounds like your experiences have not been positive. You've had these shocks. It's not as if the way businesses have responded have helped you recover from them. What is the message to the businesses out there listening about how they can help people who experience these sudden shocks, these sudden changes in income, and all these impacts that follow from that? Shall we go to you first, Tom?
Yeah, sure. Well, I suppose sort of perhaps recognizing that not every situation fits into a neat little box and being a bit more understanding about it, perhaps thinking about how different, you know, different solutions might be. Like I said, you know, not everything fits in a neat square box anymore. And I, as a self-employed single man living in a rural area, just in a broader national thing, I don't see representation for me anywhere or any slice of life that kind of doesn't exclude me in that way. You know, that's just how it feels.
Gordon, over to you.
Yeah, I mean, I would almost echo what Tom's saying about not every situation's the same. I think businesses are very guilty of, you know, you're suffering from income shock, so go to this person to help you. I'd like to see businesses maybe take on the responsibility of helping a bit more personally, try and understand that individual situation. Don't just give it this blanket response, you know. We've both ended up in suffering from financial shock, but for, as we've discovered, very different reasons. You know, maybe just when you made that first phone call, try and do a bit of digging and find out why you, what the reasons are, and try and make a bit more of a, I know it's difficult, but maybe a slightly more bespoke approach to the whole thing.
Yeah, one thing I'd add to that, actually, which reminded me, I mean, the places they pass you on to generally can't help either. And then one of the big things I've had, and this is why I've just abandoned the whole thing, I'm making absolutely no attempt to pay my debts at the moment, is they're saying, well, we can't come up with some sort of payment plan because you seem to be spending more than you're earning. And I'm like, well, yes, I've kind of got to prioritize what I spend my money on depending on what irregular income I have coming in. So filling in this little form of my monthly expenditure isn't going to work because my income's different every month. I can't rely on anything. So, you know, they can't really help. So you're like, well, you're just on your own anyway once you've been passed to these organizations.
Tom, Gordon, we're going to have to stop it there. I feel like we could continue for another hour, but thank you for being so so honest, so open about what happened and that chain of events that's followed. And the reality, really, that what's happened since has not helped you recover from that. And also for giving us some thoughts about what would have made more of a difference. So thank you very much for being here, and thank you for your honesty.
That was Tom and Gordon talking to Michael Hilton from Three Hands Insight. If you want to find out more about Michael and Jan Levy's work at Three Hands with people like Tom and Gordon, do visit threehandsinsight.co.uk. And that's about it for today. So until next time, stay resilient, go well, and always remember that vulnerability matters. Vulnerability Matters was brought to you by the Money Advice Trust. It was presented by Chris Fitch and produced by Phil King.